No, I have nothing earth-shattering to say right now. I mean, we're getting started 3 weeks in. We're behind, and I'll tell you why it's normal to be behind for a lot of teams. We're not one of those teams that like, you know, I'm not going to build up UMD, like, you know, and play that side of the coach, but they're just coming. They got everybody back, but two or three players. I'm sure, and I can tell you from my old team, you know, they're going to start ahead. We're behind a tad, but the biggest reason, the first 2 weeks, it was like, it was two camps, and they were staring at us, and we were staring at them. And it was an awkward feeling out a couple weeks where we were quiet. And we'd go in the locker room after practice, and I said, they're just quiet. And finally, you know, in week three, they came to life. And we started to have more jump in practice and more communication, and I felt comfortable with. So that's why I can answer the question now. I just really thought you had two groups really getting to know each other. And that's what kind of puts us behind, because I wish we had another week of practice before we played any game. But, you know, here we sit, game week, Duluth's coming on, and we're making progress, though. And the good thing I told our guys after practice late last week, where we had a real good practice, I said, we're behind right now, but my encouragement is that we're going to catch up. We're going to be there. And we're going to get better, and we're going to be to a point where we're comfortable. And that's what we're still working toward.
Bob, most people know the style that you play. Do you feel like you have the personnel to play the style that you played at St. Cloud?
Our forwards, we're really excited about our group of forwards. And I don't mean to say that on a negative on the other side, but our forwards, we battle a couple, one injury, McLaughlin's been out. And Nathan Burke's been out, and Burkey got back yesterday. Our depth up front with high-end quality, some size, speed. I'm really excited about that group up front, like as a snapshot right now. And if, you know, you get a guy like Tyler Sheehy back to where he was 2 years ago, and the reason, a first-team All-American 2 years ago, 50 points, you know, he had a major surgery that offseason that set him back, and I don't think that's a thing they could talk about last year. And I'm seeing a real high-level player in Tyler Sheehy, and Rem Pitlick coming in now his upper class year. He's at an elite level. Those are like just two a snapshot of two things that are really exciting. Then you look at our D-Corps, and you got three freshmen. Then you've got one defenseman played 11 games last year. One defenseman played 13 games. So five defensemen. There's 20, you know, just under 25 games of games played. And then I'll even take Tyler and Annie, who didn't play for 2 years. And when you talk to Don really fit. 2 years of rust. And after Christmas, he started to play his best hockey. So we are, there's six defensemen. And then that only leaves a couple more guys. With Sadik and Zulsdorf, were very inexperienced D-Corps from playing at a high level. And that's an area that we're seeing progress jump. Even after practice yesterday, Rab said, big step today. And they're going to get tested, you know, they're going to get tested this weekend, obviously, at a high level. But that group is not up to where our forwards are. But that's the reason I can say that is I think they're going to come. I think we're going to see that group over the next month, 2 months, that we're really going to work to play an up-tempo, get that puck, you know, transitioning up the ice. I'll have a much better answer for you in 2 months. But we're dealing with a lot of inexperience back there. And but the good side, now go back one more position, we got experience in goaltending. So Sherrod's played over 100 games, two-time Big Ten Goalie of the Year. Robson is an older guy, really came on last year. There's excitement with both those guys, and they're experienced. And I'm making those comments off of history, and that's, to me, the biggest test for goaltenders, history. So we got those three elements of our game that I think we're very high in two areas, and we're very inexperienced at another level, and we got to find a way to get them to come together.
Do you like playing UMD right away, or do you just say, here we go, here's the litmus test?
I love it right now. I mean, I wish we had more practice. The one good thing for Rabs and I is we're real familiar with Duluth, and then our next real game is North Dakota. So I'm going to be a big challenge to get to know a lot of the Big Ten teams that I don't know at all. So, you know, we think we can put together a pretty decent game plan for Duluth, and then we had those two exhibition games before North Dakota. So we're real familiar with that. We know exactly, they're not going to make any changes. They have it for years up there on what they just keep plugging in different names and jerseys on how they want to play. We are going to have a true test of playing Duluth this week. From a coaching standpoint, looking at this group that we inherited, where we sit. And I think it's going to answer a lot of questions for us. The biggest thing for me is it's going to answer questions on the direction we need to keep moving. How do we keep getting better? And be a great test for us. And we'll be able to put some pressure on them, though. Our forwards are going to work this weekend. That's our game plan. We're going to put some pressure on them.
What have you seen in the development of these freshman defensemen, having to fill in those gaps?
That's what has been just quiet. And that's the part why I can't really go in depth, because the first 2 weeks, it was the entire group was, I'm just going to use that term, but it was, we weren't excelling. We weren't bad. We weren't making mistakes, but we were just quiet. We weren't performing at a high level. And I can tell you there were a few days after we were coming to the locker room a little worried, but until last week, then it was like there was a comfort level, and then they started to play with a little smile on their face, and encouragement came with the coaches. I can tell you that last week.
Are there specific things that you're hoping to learn about this team in these first games, being that that's kind of the first time you've seen them play?
Not really, honestly, not specific. It's the one thing, and if there's any team that can teach us a lesson, it's Duluth. What they did last year, at the start of last year, with five freshman defensemen, I guarantee you they had no thought process in their mind that they were going to be sitting with the national championship at the end of the year. And I know Scott, we're very good friends, but they were not good at the start last year. They were inexperienced, they were young. I think they were in seventh place for most of it all the way through Christmas. And then they just kept getting better and better and better until they snuck in that tournament at the end. And then, 3-2-1 games and magical little run, and there they go. But that's, you go back to the start of that year and how they progressed and got through. And that's what we need this weekend. We need to get in and find out everything, where we sit, and then let's get to week two of practice after we play. And that's what I do like. So I don't like our schedule, Maxie, when they're playing Duluth right away. I wish, because Saturday is the first official day of practice. The team we're coaching needs more practice time, and we're playing Duluth. But I can't change it. But what I do like is after that, we've got 3 weeks of a game out with the U.S., an exhibition game with the U.S. program, an exhibition game with a Canadian university, and then a one-game shot in Vegas. I think we're going to make a lot of progress between now and when we play North Dakota. And we're going to use it. We'll be able to use that time.
You bring in an assistant in Ben Gordon and a couple undergrad assistants in Ryan Petone and Stu Biggle. What do they bring to the program?
Great enthusiasm. I was part of the recruiting process with Ben, and I've known him for many years, and just great energy. He's bopped around the USHL and was here for a very short stint 2 years ago. Talking with Don when he was here, Don really liked his demeanor and his energy and passion. And then when Grant was with me with the World Juniors, he was able to coach. And Don said it surprised him how good he was when he got, to be able to run a group in a Christmas head coach, let their assistants do a lot of. So Don was a big resource for me in that he was very comfortable with Ben. And then the other two, I don't know Stu real well. I got to know him this summer, but everybody talks about, he was one tough kid and one of the toughest, and he wants to look under the hood at this coaching thing back to finish his degree. Patoli's are kind of part of my extension, that whole family, and And Ryan, been around him now from our side, he's got a little bit of his brother in him. He's got a passion to be in this thing right now. So we've got great, young, enthusiastic staff right now, and it's a group that can keep me young.
Has it been nice having Gary Burgoyne down here, making the transition for a new job for you?
It's been incredibly awesome for me, and I can't emphasize what a staff, how a staff has to be on the same page, and there was, there, I had a great life where I came from, but it was quieter. A lot of days I miss that quiet. We didn't have a whole lot of this. But I don't have to think with Garrett. We are on the same page, and he is truly a remarkable coach and person. And if anybody gets to meet him and dig under the hood, he's made a huge impact in the coaching world in just a short stint. I'm pretty fortunate that he's here with me.
Have you thought at all about how it's just going to feel for you coaching your first game as the first coach?
No, maybe that's the weird things get to me. Like going up, putting my skates on, going to practice normal, being on the bench is going to be normal. I met Neil Broughton 2 weeks ago for the first time. That was not normal. It was a big moment for me, not for him. He is the most iconic Gopher of all time. And I've had those moments now in the 5 months of being the coach here. You know, I'm still a real kid at heart and a hockey junkie. So stand on the bench and go against Duluth, and been there, done that. That's going to be normal for me. I was nervous 2 weeks ago at the golf tournament when I went up to introduce myself to Neil Broughton.
Did he know who you were?
Yeah, I think he did. he had that at first, like, just, you know, who's this coming up to me? And then it was, you know, yeah, hey, good luck to you this year. Thank you. I walked away. I hope I have more opportunities because when I've talked with like Lou Nanny and some of the older guys in this summer, I spent a lot of time with the alumni. I'll bet I've met over 100 alumnus. I've known many, and they talk about John Massage as the best ever. Because that's the question: who's the greatest? Me growing up was Neil Broughton. I mean, he is the iconic Gopher and player out of the state of Minnesota. And so I'm having some fun with some of that stuff. You know, I got to know Larry Olam, and I'll say the same thing now. You know, I've seen Larry, met him a couple times this summer, and you look at Larry and go, how could he be that good? You know, anyone that knows Larry, I mean, and he arguably could have been one of the greatest players that played here. And you look at, you know, he's kind of skinny and kind of little, but boy, was he dynamite. And that's been bigger moments for me this summer. Meeting some of these guys.
What's changed here at the U since you were here?
There's the real big change, and I can tell you from two standpoints. One is 2 years ago when my daughter came here, and we visited here, and then we went as parents, we did freshman orientation day. And we did the tour, and then moved her into the dorm, and then made some, brought, came down, took my daughter out, and you could see the change that's happened in those 13 years that I was gone, from a bricks and mortar point. You know, the football stadium wasn't here. You know, the dorm 17 wasn't there. The other day I was standing in on the fifth level of Athlete Village, and the windows that look out over the panoramic view, you could count, and I started to go down at least 10 new buildings that are built on a panoramic view of the skyline that are all here to support, you know, people living here, athletics, the vibrancy of the campus. I think it's, for someone coming back And it struck me the last few years too, you know, when you drive down 4th Avenue and you turn in that football stadium, I mean, it's a game changer. What bricks and mortar have done to the cosmetics of the university. And then to get the job and take it over, there was a pulse with inside the department. And one of the first things we had to do was go on the coaches tour throughout the state, all the coaches. And they were excited. And it wasn't just BJ, who's always excited. It was all the coaches. There was a buzz on enthusiasm with things from the athlete village and the new facilities and things that they can show recruits and they can show off. And I really felt that. So to me, that's the biggest change that I felt. I felt change. I felt this lift. And I sensed it.
Bob, has anything surprised you about the job since you've been here?
No. I knew that there was going to be more, and it's one of the, I knew there was going to be more of this. But I don't know if I was ready for as much as like that. There was more than I thought, but I have to embrace it because I think our program there's some feelings. I don't know how do you really word it. You guys could probably help more with, you know, Big Ten hockey. There was, whether I was at the state fair or in War Road at a golf tournament, you know, the Big Ten hockey came from people that came up to introduce themselves to me. And that tells you and can I bore you with a little talk on this right now? And it dawned on me too, because I was on the other side when this league started. Well, the fans there where we were did not like the school. They blamed the school. Well, the Duluth fans blamed the school. North Dakota, who always hated this school, now you need more reason to hate the school. Mankato didn't like it. So you thought for about, you know, we were going to our 6 years. So you take the borders and even stretch across to the green side. You had all these people, the power of the hockey community didn't like Minnesota. They didn't, you know, there's always that sports not like you, sports. But they blamed Minnesota, and there was this negativity that just started to fester itself. To where all of a sudden there were just bullets coming at Minnesota, and I used to throw them. You know, I can't hide from it. I mean, that was a pretty powerful league, that the old WCHA. And there's a lot of wounds from that, from the entire hockey community within the region. That was blamed, they still blame Don, that Don did it. And of course, you know, he had zero to do with it. And so you felt that part of it. But I kind of have this feeling now after going into 6 years, now I'm going to switch caps. And I don't want to be hypocritical how I used to feel about it. But now here we are 6 years later, and the rankings come out. Duluth's number one, St. Cloud's number four, Mankato's number 8 or 9. Everybody's kind of settling in now after 5 years. Maybe their new leagues are okay. Maybe the Big Ten had 3 teams in the Frozen Four last year. Maybe hockey's pretty good at our level. You have that many Minnesota teams right now, that powerful, and we were 13, you know, in a preseason ranking. That maybe the scars are starting to heal over a little bit, and maybe we can now start to build forward that the Big Ten Hockey Conference, and for me to be a cheerleader on it now, I'll say that just imagine if the Big Ten kicked football and basketball out, the uproar you would have if we weren't part of the Big Ten as a school. And then I had to look it up, 1896, we're a founding member of the Big Ten. So it's not a new conference. We've been in it forever. It's just new to hockey, and it is growing, and it is a pretty powerful hockey conference. So hopefully that all of our region now is starting to settle into their new leagues. The scabs, you know, they're still going to not like us. It just comes with the territory. But the world I left, we're okay. That world is okay right now. They've settled in, and North Dakota settled in, and Duluth has settled in. They're going to raise a banner on Friday. So I think from a fan standpoint in a hockey community, maybe we got something to build on now. And so I'll throw it out. There's a little history for me today. I don't know if I'm right or wrong, but I feel that may be the case right now.
You can't change the Big Ten, but you can change the style of play that's happening in Minnesota. How do you make your mark on the puck pressure, the power play, things like that, with only 4 hours a week ice time?
Well, those are two. Like, 4 hours is hard for everybody, but you know, Duluth's got the same thing right now, 4 hours a week. In time, you know, we just have to make our guys accountable and really, we have to instill how we want to play. And like I said, I inherited this group, and I told them I'm going to give them my heart, and I'm not going to blame the group that's here. And I kind of learned that from when I took over at St. Cloud State. Sometimes you see coaches come in, and they want to change it all. Like, they want to get their guys. We're going to get our guys in the future, whoever our guys are. We're going to get them. But we're going to coach. That's one thing. This team this year, we're all in with it. And we're, you know, and they're hearing our message strong and loud right now, how we want to play. And we're going to need more practice time, but we're going to need games to judge it, to evaluate it, to encourage it, to promote it. And eventually we recruit to it. And then the process starts. So I'm gonna keep the faith till the last day of the season that we're gonna get this team to play that way. So it's a simple question. It's a harder answer. Ask me again in December, and we'll see where we're at that point, and then we'll see where we're at the end of the year. But if teams I've coached before have gotten there before, I think we're going to be able to do it here.
What are the things you're
one more
looking
coach
for in the series of Duluth towards making that mark in progress?
I think that we're talking to our forwards right now how they have to be a collective group to put an enormous amount of pressure on the other team, and not worry about points, not worry about accolades right now. Let's worry about let's put our emphasis and our concentration into, you know, 30 seconds of hell. Just get out there and get after it, and reward that in our system. Once again, these are hard things to talk about in front of a group, and you'll be judging it. We'll see how they go.